Joining us on CT on the Hill is the state representative from the 57th District. He is a Republican from Ellington, and that would be one Chris Davis. Representative Davis, welcome to CT on the Hill.
Good morning, Dan. Great to be with you again.
Well, it's great to have you on the program. And I might add, for those who are near a computer, who are on the net, or have their smartphone with us, today's edition of CT on the Hill is being broadcast live on Facebook. Just go to our Talk of Connecticut Facebook page, facebook.com/talkofct. That said, Representative, the House Democrats announced their budget yesterday with all of its tax hikes. What's your take on the budget?
Well, it's certainly disappointing that, you know, it's taken them 8 months to come to the same conclusion that we all knew that they were going to come up with, several months ago, that, you know, they're going back to the well, doing the same exact practices that they've done for years that have driven Connecticut into near fiscal ruin. I mean, we're talking about a tax increase of over $1 billion included in their budget, and the audacity of facing these massive deficits, not just this year, but in the out years, that they would even increase spending after doing such a huge tax increase. So it's something that, as far as I can tell, is a non-starter for us in the Republican Party, and it's very disappointing because we've spent countless hours doing bipartisan negotiations with the Democrats from both the House and the Senate for weeks and weeks and weeks now, and to have them come out with a document that they know, and we've made it clear in those talks that we are not interested in raising taxes, and to do it at this level of over $1 billion over 2 years is just astonishing. And it would be comical if it wasn't so tragic, Dan.
At this stage, with the union concessions deal having been approved along party lines, can the Republicans come up with a budget that restores funding, for example, to the municipalities, particularly in the area of the ECS, without raising taxes?
Yeah, I'm confident that we are. And actually, we're there. I'm going back down to Hartford shortly to finish up on what we're talking about. And we have a caucus this afternoon with our members in the House, in the House Republicans, to kind of unveil what we've come up with in order to close that gap. But really, it's very difficult to do only because they've dug themselves into such a big hole. We were told that they had to pass the budget in order to avoid chaos, or they had to pass the CBAC agreement in order to avoid chaos. Well, what happened? They passed the CBAC agreement, and then it became abundantly clear that tax increases were needed for them to be able to close their budget hole. And now we have the governor willing to cut towns and cities by a tremendous amount. So, you know, we've done the hard work and come up with a plan that will be able to close this gap without raising taxes. And we look forward to hopefully having them take that under serious consideration. Because as you know, Dan, we've put together 7 or 8 budgets over this year that did not raise taxes and funded our towns, and they just dismissed it and wouldn't even allow us to have a vote on it.
Well, the question becomes, does this plan include unilateral action on the part of the state legislature to extract more concessions from the union? Does this GOP plan include that?
Well, there's certainly areas where you can get additional labor savings. Those are discussions that we're still having. But, we do have to recognize that the CBAC agreement did get approved. Unfortunately, I think it was the wrong agreement for the state of Connecticut. I think it dug us a deeper hole, as seen in the need for the Democrats to try to raise over $1 billion in taxes now in order to cover it. But, you know, it's something that is going to be the law of the land at this point. And we have to recognize that, you know, any kind of additional savings will have to be outside the CBAC agreement.
But that said, could you envision a scenario where the House Republicans sign on to a plan that includes tax hikes?
I know I personally wouldn't sign on to that plan, and I highly doubt any member of my caucus would. I mean, we've been very clear since the beginning that tax increases are something that the state of Connecticut can't afford and would be unacceptable for us moving forward. So, I think there's ways that we can accomplish what we're trying to do without having to raise taxes. That's something that we've done 7 or 8 times already. We're already working on doing it again after the CBAC agreement. So it's a scenario where you don't have to do this. The state of Connecticut can do much better. And that's what we'll be presenting shortly in the next coming days, hopefully. And you'll be able to see that, you know, the state of Connecticut doesn't need another $1 billion tax increase.
I mean, $1 billion is a lot of money. Have you talked to any constituents since the House Democrats announced their plan yesterday?
Oh, sure. And it's just, you know, it's frustration on their part. It's the idea that, you know, here we go again. You know, that we're going to have tax increases and we're going to have spending increases. You know, how could we ever think of the Democrats coming up with anything different? And it's really quite sad for the state of Connecticut that we're in this position, that leadership for almost 40 years, they've had control of the state of Connecticut, and it's been the same thing over and over again. Tax increases and spending increases. And that's where we found ourselves in this situation. And I find it actually kind of ironic that when they released their budget, it was the anniversary of the state income tax being signed into law. So it seems like it's just August 22nd is a date that will live in infamy in Connecticut for tax increases.
Yeah, it really is. You become very worried when you get to that date because of what usually happens on that date in regards to taxes. But, I mean, I just don't know, Chris, unless there are fundamental changes, and by fundamental changes, I mean the relationship between the state and your municipalities along the lines of arbitration, along the lines of funding, along the lines of unfunded mandates. Unless there happens to be fundamental change, I don't know how you can bring about what is necessary to balance the state budget without making either painful cuts or raising taxes.
Well, I think you hit right on what is necessary to avoid those things, and that's those structural changes, some of which that you just listed. You know, with the House Republicans, and I know the Senate Republicans too, we've been pushing for a structural change in these meetings. We've been pushing for them for several years now, and they include things like a bond cap, the spending cap actually being defined and implemented in the proper way, a huge mandate relief package with dozens of mandates that could be stripped from the books to allow towns flexibility to be able to kind of control their own destiny and their own taxation. Those are things that we've been pushing for several years and really pushing for this year in these talks. And it's the only way that we can change the state of Connecticut for the positive for the years to come. Because we know that we can't continue to do what the Democrats are trying to do, and that's tax and spend our way out of this spending problem.
What I read, and I just read it in the newspapers, some of what's been reported as far as the Connecticut House Democrats plan is very vague, including what they want to do for the homeowners whose basements are crumbling. Do you know anything about the House Democrats plan in that area of crumbling basements?
Yeah, my understanding is that they would start what's known as a Healthy Homes Initiative, and it would include the surcharge on insurance policies. I believe they're trying to do it at $12 a year, which is what kind of the legislature kind of left off on at the end of the session. And some of that money would go towards crumbling foundations, but also go towards other home-related issues like lead paint abatement and sinking homes down in the New Haven area. I have not seen or gone over all of the details of their plan, but my understanding is that there is activity to try to create a positive result for many of these homeowners with crumbling foundations, kind of taking off from where we left in our bipartisan talks at the end of session, which I think will hopefully be a positive thing for North Central and Northeastern Connecticut that's being so critically hit by this crumbling foundation issue.
Okay, so let me get this straight. You believe that, or you've seen the Connecticut House Democrats plan in that area, and it includes a surcharge on homeowners insurance policies?
Well, that's what we've been told. We had a meeting yesterday with Senator Blumenthal and Senator Murphy up in Tolland, heard directly from a number of homeowners with our Capital Region Council of Governments and the Northeastern Council of Governments. And at that meeting, the House Democrats kind of unveiled, or at least outlined what they're looking to do. Like I said, I haven't seen all of the details, but it certainly sounds like they are trying to make an effort to do something positive here. I only hope that it is the best thing and that we have some bipartisan input on it to try to make it as best as possible for the victims of this tragedy in our area.
Did they indicate the amount of the surcharge?
I believe he said it would be the $12 a year, so about a dollar a month.
And who was the one who said that?
It was Representative Jeff Curry from East Hartford, who's kind of been taking the lead for the House Democratic Caucus.
Okay. Now, Senators Blumenthal and Murphy were at this meeting?
Yes. Yeah, it was a public meeting. There was a lot of homeowners that were expressing their frustration to the senators to try to get them to do something at the federal level, as many of us believe that, you know, the federal government should play a role in the solution for us here in Connecticut. And, you know, they certainly gave a mouthful to the two senators and let them know exactly how they feel about the inaction at the federal government level as well.
And this meeting was specifically to address that issue of the crumbling basements.
Yes. Yep. It was the ad hoc committee that the Council of Governments has formed. So there was municipal leaders there, state leaders, and the two senators came by. Which was great because Senator Murphy, as far as I know, hasn't attended any of our meetings in the past. So it's certainly a positive sign, hopefully, that he's actually paying attention and trying to do something about this issue that's impacting us so much.
Well, this is actually, as far as I'm concerned, a very important development, as you know, Representative, because you're right. Senators Murphy and Blumenthal, for example, have been sort of absent in the area of the crumbling basements over the last year and a half as criticism has mounted. So the fact that they actually went to the scene of the crumbling basement, so to speak, and tackled this issue head on, I think is a step in the right direction. However, what you're saying is the solution seems to be, at this stage, this insurance surcharge on people who have homeowners insurance.
Yeah, and then honestly, I don't know how that gets applied. I don't know if it goes directly to being able to remediate people's basements, if it's going to go towards administrative costs. I mean, those are the types of things that we really need to make sure that if people are going to be charged any kind of fee, that it actually goes to solve the problem and doesn't line the pockets of bureaucrats and expand government overreach on these types of things. So, you know, I'm hopeful that we'll be able to sit down in a bipartisan way and work out this legislation, whether they include it as part of the budget and ultimately I have to oppose it, or if it's, done the right way and done as a separate bill when we get called back into session. But I'm hopeful that if anything happens with the funding from insurance surcharge, that it goes directly to helping people with the crumbling foundation.
So what actually then came out of this meeting? How did it end?
Well, yesterday was more of an update on where everybody was at the local level, at the state level, and the federal level. And it was really an opportunity for homeowners to address the senators directly in Tolland, in their backyard, to be able to say to them, you know, how they felt and what they're looking for solutions. And there was many conversations about tax implications that they have at the federal level and what the senators could do to try to work with the IRS to at least get write-offs or tax credits for individuals that make the repairs themselves. I think, like you said, it was a positive step in the right direction, but you know, little was gained other than potentially additional knowledge for the two senators that haven't been too active in our conversations.
But your thinking, though, is that the Connecticut House Democrats' plan, because it was very vague other than they're addressing the issue of the crumbling basements, you're thinking their plan happens to include this insurance surcharge.
Yeah, it's right there on their budget.
Oh, it's there.
I'm looking at the budget that they put out, and it says establish surcharge on homeowner insurance to fund the Healthy Homes Initiative.
Okay.
That's one of the line items, right, in their rather vague budget. Like,
right.
You know, as you mentioned, we don't even know. You know, they're talking about raising rates and tax rates on various things, and they didn't really disclose what those rates are and how they're going to be increased. You know, it's been, once again, not what I would consider a full budget. One that, you know, just kind of has line items and tells you things, but they don't really go into detail about exactly what they're looking to accomplish. But it is a line item in their budget. It's certainly disappointing that they've gone ahead and decided to do partisan talks and not allow Republicans, who represent about half of the people in the state of Connecticut and, you know, represent a large portion of the communities that are affected by crumbling foundations, to kind of block us out of the room and not have us at the table during these conversations about crumbling foundations. But, you know, I'm hopeful that before there's any votes, that they'll allow us to come in and review what they're trying to do and hopefully make it even better.
Well, in a nutshell, then, do you think that this plan that was advanced, the overall plan, I'm talking about the budget, the tax hikes at all, mm-hmm. which was advanced by the Connecticut House Democrats, do you think it's a plan that's dead on arrival?
I think it, unfortunately, might be the basis on which they negotiate now, which is troubling to me. You know, they have, you know, despite the fact that they're trying to make it out that it's, you know, we have to work together and there has to be bipartisanship in order to pass a budget. Let's be very clear. the Democrats still control the state of Connecticut. They have the governor, they have the Senate, because they have the 19th vote from Lieutenant Governor Wyman, and they still control a very slim majority in the House of Representatives. So, you know, if they want to bully a budget through, they can do that. And I'm very fearful that now we're at a stage where they're going to be trying to bully through a massive tax increase like this along party lines and try to, you know, ram it through now that we're coming up on the time period where the towns would receive such a massive cut. I certainly hope it doesn't deter those moderate Democrats who have been standing up and saying they don't want to see tax increases. Hopefully they continue to stand up and say there's other solutions. We should look at the Republican budget. And Representative Elliott, one of your favorite ones down in Hartford, he had mentioned that there was 10 or 12 House Democrats that were ready to vote for a Republican budget if we had the opportunity to vote on it. So it goes to show you that there's people that do not want to raise taxes, and we need to keep the pressure on them to make sure that that doesn't go forward.
Well, I'll tell you what concerns me about the conversation of a surcharge, Representative, and we're running out of time, but what concerns me is that I don't mind, you know, the crumbling basements in eastern Connecticut, but if we're going to use this just as a surcharge to address general homeowners' problems, I believe it opens a Pandora's box, because it's $12 this year, it's $20 the next, it's $100 the year after that, and I think it opens a Pandora's box.
No, and I think, you know, perfectly normal response to that idea. I mean, as I've said on your program a number of times, that's probably my least favorite way to try to solve this issue. I'm not a huge fan of doing the surcharge. It's one of the ways that has been floated out there for several months. But I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of that because of that very reason. Where does it end? It starts at $12 now, could be $50 2 years from now. You know, if we're including more than just crumbling foundations, then where does it end? Do we include, you know, roof replacements for people or, you know, other things down the road? So that's a troubling part of doing the tax surcharge or the insurance surcharge. And, you know, it's something that we really have to consider if that is truly the best way to go moving forward.
Representative, always a pleasure. Thanks for spending some time with us today.
Thank you, Dan. Always a pleasure. Hope to be on sometime soon.
You bet. Take care.